has done it. They've gone from 15 and 16, the champions of college baseball.
Welcome to the 1,544 Miles to Omaha podcast, talking about the past, present, and future of Cal State Fullerton baseball.
Here's a drive, deep right center. Back there, and Chamberlain has won it. A walk-off homer from the freshman Chamberlain, his first of the year.
Cal State Fullerton has won the College World Series in 1995.
One ball and one strike. Runners lead from second and third. The 1-1 chopped over the mound. The second baseman, Borgaño's got it. Throws to first, a no-hitter for Colt Niesman.
Here's your host, Dave Lamb.
Welcome to episode 62 of the 1544 Miles to Omaha podcast. Today's guest is Cal State Fullerton Titan baseball head coach Jason Dietrich. Coach Dietrich has been in the big chair for not just quite a year yet, but officially introduced to the Titan fans and the media on June 30th of last year. So before we hit record, we were kind of trying to do the math on how many days on the job, not quite 365, but 348 or 350 or whatever it is. So what are your impressions after being named the head coach less than a year ago and completing your first season, and focus more on transitioning from being an assistant coach and a pitching coach to now you're in the big chair and you're pretty much running the whole show?
Yeah, that was everything's going to be an adjustment. It's not just it's like I told you probably in the last podcast, it's learning everything and making sure you're aware of everything, and working with this whole new coaching staff, I've known them, but now we've worked together for a year. So all these things are all just the new things and learning curves, especially, like you said, being the head coach. And just making sure I'm on top of everything. And that's the things that I'm seeing. It's daily. So, which is not a bad thing. Just you got to make sure you're staying active and delegating if you need to. And that's why I'm thankful for great assistance. But yeah, it's crazy. It's been a year already. And a lot has been learned, not just from baseball, but just like I said, you know, personally, being a head coach now, just managing pitchers, the whole team, game style management, just, you know, learning what we do have, what the growth we need, the recruiting we need to do. So it's all these things that we've kind of just learned in time, which has been great. And obviously, you know, end of the year meetings we had, and there's been a lot of movement going on with our roster for next year and future years.
You said there was a lot of, not necessarily surprises, but new things that kind of came to light. What was probably one of the biggest that, now that I'm the head coach, you hadn't anticipated, or maybe the previous head coaches that you had worked under had never said, hey, you got to watch out for this, and then it came to light while you were here, or were there no surprises?
I don't think surprises. It's just recognizing that you have to, it's not just I'm worried about the pitchers or their daily plans. It's knowing everything that's going on and knowing academics to working with your strength coach, your facilities person, any admins, anything, you know, individuals, working to get to know the whole team, not just a pitching staff. So it's just making sure you're building relationships with that, and then working with your own coaching staff, developing just kind of relationships with everyone on campus to make sure we're doing what we need to do. And then you're talking about developing relationships with your alumni and your donors and people out there that support you. So your time is always, you're nonstop, but that's what I learned really, is that it's active all the time. And to balance that is probably the number one thing I learned, is how do you balance that? And obviously the personally with family and what have you, to make sure I can keep as level-minded as possible. So those are the things I felt in the whole year that I've kind of learned, knowing that it would be a certain degree like that. But when you're experiencing it firsthand, you start recognizing that until you can grasp that stuff and balance it, you got to make sure you're doing the best you can.
Well, a year under your belt, what with this coming year is going to come a whole lot easier. You don't have to put together a staff, obviously. You know, you've got your set of recruits are now coming in. What's going to be off your plate, essentially, for the coming year now that you've had a year under your belt?
I think it's just making sure we we're not worried about just evaluating in fall and getting to know the players. We have a good idea of who the players are. We're still learning some of them. But to know that and then have a game plan, a better game plan for fall and what that's going to entail for every facet of the game. And then, you know, we don't have to just sit there and just kind of just not implement certain things we need from a team D and all the other things that we're working on. So I think that's going to be good, as we can sit down as a staff, not just kind of, you know, now the staff is recruiting at a high level right now, but we can sit down and go, okay, what are our goals for fall? What do we want to achieve? How can we put ourselves in the best position come from, you know, first game in February? That's the stuff that I think we're more excited about. It's not just we are in essence kind of our heads were cut off, so to speak. We were doing nonstop from housing to getting guys in to you name it, all kinds of different things. That was a lot of work, and then getting to know the players. So right now we feel like we're in a good spot of building those relationships and looking forward to seeing what we can do and grow in a fall, and then how we can come up to make our best game plan for spring. So those are things I think that we're excited for.
What kind of a timeline do you have between now, it's middle June, to late August, early September, when they actually come back from summer ball and, you know, new students come onto campus? What's kind of the timeline for you and the coaches where you guys are utilizing this summer before kids start going back to school and taking classes?
What are we doing? I'm sorry, is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah.
This is the heavy recruiting time right now. You're out. There's a couple windows where there's some dead periods for the NCAA calendar, but right now we're actively recruiting. We're going to see current kids that have committed, the future, what's out there for, as you know, it's so crazy in recruiting that we're getting our hot list of kids that are going to be sophomores and freshmen. And so we're out there just watching a ton of games and then hopefully try to get them here for maybe some high school camps in August or sometime in fall. And it's crazy, before you know it, I mean, we're 2 months away from school starting. It's August 22nd. So it's mainly recruiting, and then probably back into July, you know, I'm going to start doing just administrative stuff right now and also recruit and kind of come up with the game plan and meet with our trainers and our strength guy and kind of come up to make sure everyone's good with their housing and the you know, getting the application and all that, all the things that need to get done. We'll make sure that's in a good spot, and then meet in a couple days, probably at the back end of July, early August, to just make sure the whole coaches are on the same page of what our goals are and who we have, because we're still, you know, trying to recruit some guys for next year also.
When you mentioned dead period, what does that entail? Does that mean radio silence where you can't email, text message, call, or what's part of a dead period when, for people that aren't in the know?
Yeah, it's a good question. There'll be one coming this weekend, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. They had one recently. It's just because they try to add days where it's like they have Father's Day this weekend, because we're nonstop. We're out there all the time, but it allows coaches to take a step back, and you can't go out recruiting. You can't have guys on campus. You can still talk to recruits. You can text them, but you can't go out and watch games. You can't meet guys on campus. And there was just one recently, I think May 30th to June 6th, because of the regionals. So there's like a 7 or 8 day window. Again, we need this too as coaches to recharge our batteries too. It allows us to not just, I mean, the reality is you can go every day until school starts. So there's another window for 4th of July, another 3 day window. And then it goes until, like, I think back into August. And it's weird. There's so many rules, but those are kind of what they're called, dead periods or quiet periods also. But dead periods where you can't have guys on campus and you can't go out and watch guys play or can't go to any events.
So do you use that to recharge your battery, or do you still text message the number one guy that you really, really want and show him that, hey, you know what, I'm going out of my way during the dead period to still make contact? I mean, how do you approach those dead periods?
Well, everything's different. You still need time for yourself and your family and your friends. But, yeah, you're still finding ways to reach out if you have to certain student-athletes that you're allowed to, because there's some guys you can't because of the rules. But the ones that you can, you're still reaching out to, sending, you know, text or a call to just catch up, because building that relationship is important. So yeah, it's always ongoing, but you're trying to balance that out, like I said, the best you can. So sometimes maybe in the morning you might have time where you're away from family and kids where you can go, I'm going to fire out some text and give some phone calls and get that done, or it's afternoon or evening. So you're always doing things, but like I said, at the end it's still nice to, some guys use it to step back and maybe kind of go, okay, the next couple of weeks I'm going to map out those to go see certain players and travel and all that stuff. So you kind of regather yourself, but also you try and spend time with family and friends. So it's just how you balance it, how you want to do it. I just ask our assistants, you know, which they're good at, is just staying organized, but also make sure you are enjoying the time with your wife, your loved ones, or friends, just so you can, you know, I think that's what helps people keep things in perspective too, is that balance of just go make sure you're doing what you need to do. And that makes you want to kind of get back on that road and keep charging and go as far as you can until another window comes up where you can kind of take a little breather and get going again, and then go. And because, like I said, it's those little small windows are not a lot, but they're still good to kind of again recharge.
Well, I don't want to go too much into the recruiting side of things, but obviously recruiting over the years has probably changed dramatically, even from when you were at IVC and, you know, UC Irvine and all the way through. How is it now as the head coach recruiting to Cal State Fullerton, which obviously we're sitting here in the new clubhouse, you know, there's 4 national championships on the board, 18 trips to Omaha. Is it, you can't just recruit on the past because a kid that's coming out of high school or is even a sophomore or junior or something like that might not even, you know, he's probably wasn't even born the last time we won a national championship. So do you tailor the recruiting towards what the student athlete wants? Because this athlete may want 17 different uniform combinations and 18 pairs of shoes and all that kind of stuff, and that's not Cal State Fullerton, where the different type of player that you might want to recruit is the guy that wants that tradition, that you know, wants that brand name. So how do you tailor your recruiting when it comes to recruiting to Cal State Fullerton?
Well, that's part of our check boxes that we have, is we have to do our homework, just like you're saying, and figure out who the guys are that we like and identify, and then we start calling coaches and figuring out, is this the direction we want to keep on moving forward with this young man? We have this great new facility, and it's helping us. But, you know, everywhere in college baseball, there's a lot of support now behind the administrators and presidents, what have you, in college baseball, which is awesome to see. So we just got to make sure we're doing what we can to continuously move forward, which we are. But also, that's not everything for us. It's a good bonus. But, you know, that's part of the equation. But it's not everything for us. We still want guys who are athletic, that do things right, work hard. So we have to put all the time and energy and effort into finding out the information about this individual and then move forward and give our best effort in the recruiting. And they feel this is the right fit, great. If not, then sometimes we kind of separate from them too if we feel it's not the right fit. So as everyone's doing their homework, from the recruits and parents to us and them, it's ongoing. So that's why the recruiting's 24/7, so to speak. So those are things that we continuously... You're right. You'd be surprised. There's kids locally that don't know that much of Cal State Fullerton, which is crazy in maybe our minds, but in the same token, we have to continuously educate everyone. And with the turnover of high school coaches and JC coaches maybe, or all these new travel ball teams, we're still building relationships with everyone out there to get them to know us and who we are and how we can continuously want this program to, you know, play at a high level. And that's what we're working hard on, is bringing the right guys we feel that will help us continuously move forward and get back to where this program's been. I mean, we all know it's not going to be easy, but that's the fun part. That's the challenge that we like.
Do you find, and this is the last one, I swear, do you find that, you know, when you or Coach Bilo or Neil Walton, you know, get on a phone with a kid and say, hey, this is Coach Dietrich, this is Coach Walton from Cal State Fullerton, do the ears still perk up, and the fact like, oh, okay, this is Fullerton, this isn't, and I'm not kicking dirt on anybody else, but this isn't Cal Baptist, this isn't UC Riverside, this is Cal State Fullerton, which is a brand name. Do you find that kids are still responsive to that?
There's still some guys that do understand the program. That's why we try to ask them about their thoughts, kind of what's their background, what kind of education do they have in the program, have they been to the campus, to games, to kind of see the style, and kind of get a familiarity of what the history of the program is. So, yeah, there's still some guys that totally are all about that, and that's where we find out, too, through people we know, that, hey, this kid really likes you. He's grown up a Titan fan his whole life. He's got some X, Y, and Z. So we work hard to see if we need that need in that area. And as you know, having a 35-man roster now, it you have to be selective, and you got to hit more than miss. So we're working hard to find out the right piece of the puzzle for us. So, there's still kids out there that do get excited, and parents still get excited. It's just a matter of, you know, like I said, everyone goes, unfortunately, this is the first time the program's kind of been through this little, I don't know what I want to call it, whatever you want to call it, but it's just, it is what it is. So we're grinding through it together, and that's kind of how the program, I think, has evolved, is you keep fighting and plugging away. So
yeah, so whatever moniker we want to put on it, rebuilding, bump in the road, whatever you want to call it, there were improvements from last year to this past season. In the fact that I believe the batting average, I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think the batting average improved by about 25 points. I think we had double the home runs that we had the year before, even though the ERA wasn't, you know, Dietrich-esque, but we only had 1 year with it, but it did come down from the 6.01 that we had the year before. So talk to me a little bit about taking a group of guys that you are still trying to figure out and feel out and know what they're all about, and then being able to make that improvement, not just in the win-loss column, which was an improvement, but statistically on taking that core group and then moving them into the improvement column.
Yeah, and you know, numbers are, you know, they all tell a story. We all know that. So it was good to see, I guess, from a numbers perspective, the offensive things that we achieved, and I know that was important. Pitching, we knew, I think I told you that was going to be a big, we had to be patient with no weekend guys coming back and minimal experience on the mound with 110 innings. So that was the part we knew. We had to see who can do what and who can take over jobs and having some injuries. So there are some positives there, obviously, and it's tough because the reality is we had, I think we're in 21 one-run ball games and we're 8-13 there. So, yes, we were close, and that's not something to hang your hat on. But you figure out a way to get seven of those wins on your side, and now you're looking at being 29 or 30 win season. Is that something to pat yourself on the back? No, it isn't. But to see that we continuously need to grow in the areas, and that's pitching for me, and other areas too, is just finding the right guys that fit what we believe. And I thought our guys gave their best effort and everything that they had. It's just, like I said, we had a lot of inexperience on the mound that sometimes when you keep on asking them to go out there and they're struggling, it's tough to kind of give them some time to kind of grow a little bit. But they did the best they could, and that's all we can ask of them. And that's where we feel for the guys that are coming back. It's going to help them grow and mature and utilize that as kind of the experience piece that's to help them hopefully get to the next level where we want them to be.
Well, what can you and your staff look at from last year's team that you can smile and you can look forward to the future and you can point to a few things and say, hey, this is moving in the right direction? Obviously, we talked about a little bit of the improvement, but what are kind of a couple takeaways that you took from this past season where you guys can get together when you guys get your meeting and plan of attack for fall ball and say, hey, these are really, really good things. Let's keep moving in that direction.
What we liked as a staff is that our guys came to practice and with energy every day, and I think that kind of trickled in throughout our play. I would say that for the most part, what we were excited about is our guys, we felt, didn't quit. When you're struggling and maybe knowing that the Big West Conference title is not going to be there, it's easy for teams to kind of say, okay, let's just hurry up and get this thing over with. And our guys didn't do that. And that's the one thing that I think we're hanging our hats on, knowing that that's what it is. That's what we want our guys to understand, is that you're representing yourself in the program every day. So earn wearing this uniform, respect it, and that's why we continuously preach, is that's what we're excited about. Okay, guys that did do it, we're thankful that they'll be coming back, and not saying guys that didn't that moved on, but it's just we felt like that's important to us, and we want guys to continuously understand the importance of playing with the Titans across your chest. And that's where we're excited what we saw, and there's some guys that made some strides offensively and pitching too. I mean, we had some young guys get some experience, and we're excited to see what they can do. And as long as they are motivated, and they should be, to want to get better and work hard, you know, in the weight room and in summer ball, then hopefully they can understand the importance of, you know, wanting to improve and get better.
So talking about some of those guys that can potentially move on, I mean, the Titans had a larger number of normal than normal senior day, just because, you know, COVID and then extra years, dudes coming back and a contracted draft and all that other kind of stuff contributed to having, I don't know, how many did
nine,
like,
I think.
Yeah, nine, yeah. Close to 10, something like that. If you throw in some of the student managers, it was like, you know, 10 or 11 or something like that. But there's guys like, you know, Zach Liu, Jason Brandao, Jackson Lyon, guys that would-be graduating seniors that would have exhausted eligibility, but because of the COVID season, they now have some eligibility. Is there a potential that those guys are going to come back? Because it's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. I want to say Carlos Lopez and Jake Pavletich, mm-hmm. in my recollection, are the two guys that participated in Senior Day but actually came back.
Yeah.
And it's rare that if you participate in Senior Day, you usually don't come back. So I don't know. Can you speak to what their plans are? Or
yes, they have some of those guys, like I said, they might come back. I think they're waiting to see, with the draft being so late now in the middle of July, and then you're the possibility maybe a free agent contract, that we're kind of waiting to see what happens. So we know that they have their degree. We've talked to them. A lot of them are kind of just waiting to see what transpires. But for the most part, some of the guys have expired, you know, their eligibility, and they're just going to be moving on in life. And there's some guys that felt like, hey, thanks for everything. I'm going to probably go somewhere else to try to get my 1 year of eligibility left too. So it was kind of a mixed bag of stuff. So like I said, there's not really this amount's coming back and this amount we're still waiting. We're still kind of playing it by ear until it's our first time having a draft this late. So we're all experiencing this new thing in July now. And so hopefully it doesn't come back to haunt us a little bit, but I don't think it will. We've had good conversations with these young men. And the great thing is we feel like they've all been up front and saying what they're wanting to do. And we're just kind of waiting around to see what happens, and knowing that we have put spots aside for them. By the same token, we're preparing that we might lose them also.
Right. And then some of the returners are talking about some of the great strides that you guys made, not only on the field but on the mound as well. You know, Tyler Stoltz was, you know, he's what, a fifth? Unfortunately, because he spent so much time in JUCO ball, but because of the eligibility and all that COVID stuff, he's got more years. Same thing with Finchester. Mm-hmm. And then Evan Yates, so your three weekend guys, all have the potential to be able to come back.
Now. Yep.
Have Tyler and Finn expressed, because they're obviously above 21, they can go into the draft if they choose to or whatever it is. Have you heard any rumblings?
Yeah, they both said they're coming back. I don't think there's going to be – there's not been a lot of professional attention towards them, and they understand that, but they're excited to come back. So we're excited for having them coming back because, you know, Tyler to me is a great story. Finding him in July of last year to come in here and compete. All we pretty much told him is like, you can come work hard and see what you can earn a spot, and he earned the Friday spot. And to do that and to be as consistent as he was awesome to see, in the testament of getting those right guys that come in that compete at a high level and believe in themselves and put in the work. And then Finn doing what he did is like, makes you kind of kick yourself a little bit going, well, should we start him earlier? But in the same token, you're trying to figure out roles. And like I said, we had a lot of question marks we were trying to figure out, and some of the answer or some of the things we thought were right weren't. And so, you know, so you're kind of always trying to figure out what's best for the team. And he stepped up when we didn't have another starter, and Evan did the same thing too. So Evan showed that he kind of put himself in a spot after fall, but, you know, being young, I think he was just inconsistent. And then something clicked in him where he knew he had a great opportunity ahead of him. We gave him that opportunity. You know, the chance, and he ran with it, and I think he did a good job. And now it's just fine-tuning some of his pitches, his fastball command, and just getting stronger and maturing and gaining experience. So with those three guys logging in the innings that they did, we're excited to see how they come back, because we have a lot of new guys coming in too that are hungry and wanting to fight for the weekend spots too.
So speaking of that, Cal State Fullerton has been pretty active, not only with the JC side of things, but also in the transfer portal as well. And I don't know how much you can speak specifically about particular people, but I know, for example, you know, Jason Blood out of Golden West was announced by the athletic department, and then also Nacho Alvarez from Riverside City. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about those guys that have already committed and are officially Titans, or soon to be Titans?
Blood, good pitcher. He's from Cypress High School. He has a plus changeup. There's a lot of projection there. We're excited that, you know, he's kind of untapped, because we feel like there's a lot of potential there. Now, he's the one come in and start, but that's what we're telling guys. You come in and show us what you're capable of doing. You guys will determine what you're going to do. So we're excited to see what he can do and come in and compete for hopefully a weekend spot. And he put himself in a good position. I think he did a great job at Golden West. And then, you know, Nacho, I mean, he was part of the, you know, Riverside team that won it all this year. And he was a big piece of their puzzle. And he was one of their leaders. So we're excited for him to come in. And hopefully, just, you know, sometimes at JC, as we all know, the JC crossover from JC to Division One. Some guys can handle it. Some guys struggle with it. So we feel like they can make the transition. But as you know, not until it happens is what we're going to kind of wait and see. But we feel confident in them coming in here and competing, you know, for a weekend spot and also a middle lineup bat who can, you know, who did a great job and playing at their base. And he's getting professional attention right now. So hopefully we can dodge that little bullet in the middle of July and have him on campus, you know, in a couple months.
Well, then I also saw it was recently announced on social media, and I don't know if you can – you can speak to it, but I saw Trevor Hinkle, one of the weekend starters at Pepperdine, had said that he's using the transfer portal and he's going to be coming to Cal State Fullerton. Are you able to speak about that, or is there some rules where unless there's something officially signed or whatever it is, I don't know what all the compliance and all that kind of stuff is.
Yeah, I think we've done all we were supposed to do to get him in here. He's in all the proper paperwork, so we're excited. He is draft eligible, so obviously he kind of, again, dodged maybe that bullet, but we did all our homework on him, and all the things that we learned about him are everything that we like, you know, from Temecula. Again, guy that's got a lot of experience, and he knows that there's a great opportunity to possibly start, even though he knows that there's guys that started this weekend, but he wanted that opportunity. He knows about the program, and he was excited that we talked to him in greater lengths about why this could be a great fit for him. So, yeah, we're excited for him. Again, everything, unfortunately, you kind of got to wait to see what happens in the middle of July. And then we can kind of go from there. But hopefully he'll be here next year, and we feel excited that he'll be a guy that's going to put himself in a good position, again, to challenge either start on the weekend or challenge those guys to be a guy for us.
So speaking of the portal, and I think because the portal has kind of come on as a kind of new and unique animal and it's ever-evolving type of situation, can you speak to some of the people that very well may not understand the portal all that well? Because it seems like my observation has been as soon as somebody hits the portal, everybody assumes their good is gone. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the case because Peyton Jones hit the portal last year, chose not to go wherever, I don't know what conversations he was having, but then he decided to return. So can you kind of explain the portal to people that might not really understand what it's all about?
Well, I think it's different. It's unique in every scenario, I think, because Peyton and other guys are in theirs because there's a whole coaching change, and so guys maybe want to protect themselves. And there's some guys a good amount of guys from this team that are in the portal right now because of they feel maybe they need to go somewhere else. And we've asked, you know, maybe we had good conversations. And then again, you don't know everyone's scenario why people are in there, but you have to do your homework too. But this, the portal is crazy. There's a lot of people going into it now. Reason being, like I said, coaching change. They didn't get enough playing time. Maybe it was a good mix with them and their coaches or that school. There's a lot of different reasons for people to go in there, but I think it's kind of getting a little crazy. But same token, we're fishing in there too because we want to see if they fit what we're looking for, and that's, again, kind of like the recruiting piece we told you about. We've got to do our homework on these kids to make sure that they fit what we're wanting and striving for on and off the field. So the portal is, like I said, it's just there's a lot of players in it right now, and it's crazy. So it's something that, you know, everyone has reasons of why they're in there. And so I'm not sure if that's going to be a good thing from down the road. Hopefully it kind of takes care of itself. But in the same token, there are some guys that maybe had some unfortunate situations where they're at. And that happens. You know, like I said, it's not the end of the world. And they're just wanting a second opportunity or second chance somewhere. And that's what the guys we're trying to find to figure out if they fit what we're looking for. And there's other guys that are using it to their advantage too, that maybe had a good year and saying, well, geez, there's this NIL stuff going on. Maybe I can get out of here and try to get a bigger school to talk to me and get something out of it. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics going on out there that are kind of, this whole portal is kind of creating some chaos.
Do you find recruiting a player that's in the portal, that's already a D1 player, that's already kind of been through the recruiting process and went to a D1 for whether it be a year or they've got a fourth year of they got an additional year of eligibility because they're a graduate or whatever it is. Do you find recruiting those players is different than recruiting a JC guy versus a high school guy? Is it a different technique?
I don't know if it's a different technique, but you're pretty much straightforward with them because they've already been through the process once, and so now they might have they're going to be pretty strict, I believe, on one of them wanting to, their wants and needs. And I think just being straight up from both parties has been helpful. We kind of just want to educate them on us, and they need to figure out and do their homework, just like we're doing their homework on both parties. So I think it does help in that aspect because they've been there and done it, and they just need to kind of figure out, does this right fit for me? And we need to do the same thing, is they the right fit for us? So sometimes that can be good, and that's why I can go a little tick quicker, because some may know exactly what they really want. But it might take a little while for some of the guys too, because they might have a lot more options now, and so they're trying to figure out, again, what do I like or not like about a certain program. So sometimes it's taken, we're still talking to some guys right now, they've talked to for a while, to figure out, you know, are we in your short list of schools, are we not? So, yeah, it's kind of crazy how it's different, it's been interesting, but it's still, it's like I said, it's just like anything, you're trying to figure out everything with them and recruit.
Last thing on the portal is that I remember last year when Tanner Bibee was obviously going to be entering the draft and all that, and he entered the portal, and then he announced that he was committed to go to Texas A&M. And everybody in Titan Nation just absolutely lost their mind. Like, how can he do this to us, and why is he going to A&M, and I can't, you know. And Tanner was using it for leverage. Clearly, he was saying, oh, I've got an extra year of eligibility. I'm going to go here if I don't get drafted or I get the bonus or whatever it is. Do you find that kids are using the portal for that draft leverage, and they may commit to a Fullerton or somewhere else, and then they have no intentions of going there just because they have that leverage when they talk to the scout or whomever?
I think so. I think there is some leverage, but they're also they may not, you know, the draft that you always hear that you never, then it's not always, it doesn't always go the way some guys like. And so they're doing that in the same token to protect themselves, say, hey, if I'm not going to get what I feel I'm worth, then I have a great opportunity to go somewhere else to start a new chapter in my life. So some guys are doing it, maybe it's for leverage, but also to know that the MLB draft is so uncertain and you can't put all your eggs in one basket. So if they didn't have a good, maybe they did have an experience where they were at, but they want to start something new if they feel the draft doesn't go their way. And that's kind of, you're starting to see some guys do that now. So, again, it's interesting, but maybe it is for leverage, but I don't know. It's kind of crazy how it's all working.
So, of your returners that you know are going to come back, we're not talking about the Lews and the Brandos and the Jackson Lions of the world that could or could not. We already started talking about some of the weekend guys as well, but who are some of the other returners that you're really excited about?
Well, again, this is kind of another year where you're waiting to see what happens with Caden Connor, Cole Ehrman, you know, the draft and all that. We think we had good conversations with them. We feel that there's a good chance they could come back, but you never know. Both them, if they can come back, that'd be great for us. Nate Nankill, obviously, it would be a great if we can get like a Zach Liu or one of those older guys that you're saying. We have JT Naviak and Jack Haley that, you know, played a lot for us. Bobo coming back, you know, we feel like he has that offensive threat, and he's showing that, and he's obviously starting the summer really great. Those are just some of the guys I can think about right now that, you know, that put themselves in a good spot. You know, like I said, we're excited to see what they can do along with all the other, we have a lot of guys, new guys coming in too. So we have obviously Carter White coming back, Shard coming back. So there's some returners that have some playing time. It's just a matter of them, you know, can I go out there and compete and win the everyday job? But there's a lot of guys that did play a lot that we're excited to want them to get better this summer and also get stronger and come back, you know, hungry to kind of, you know, uphold the Titan standards that we believe that we had going this year and to get the new guys to understand what we're wanting to get done for next year and the upcoming years.
And then you had mentioned that Nacho obviously getting the, you know, the championship. And there's a little bit of draft interest in him, and hopefully the Titans can avoid that and get him on campus. Are there any high school guys? I know we've got five arms and five position players in this recruiting class. That you know, is there any jeopardy of possibly losing any of those guys? Because that's always a potential threat as well.
Yeah, I think that we feel we're in a good spot. There's a couple of JC arms that we have coming in that have gotten, I'm talking to some pro teams, but we feel pretty strong in them wanting to go to school. So we're excited for that. High school guys, I think we're a pretty good spot. We don't feel like there's guys that we feel like down the road they're going to be in a position to put themselves drafted in a hopefully decent position. But right now there's not a lot of guys where we're feeling like, okay, this has got to sweat this one out. But I think with the growth and with the guys we have coming in and us developing them, I think it'll be a good thing from them from 3 years from now. So we're excited.
And then I guess the last question is that I think we kind of hit on a little bit of that, but what's the rest of the summer hold for you, Coach Walton, Belo? And I mean, I know Danny's going to be running camps,
yeah,
you know, like you would believe, but what does the summer hold for you guys?
It's to make sure, again, first thing is recruiting, and second thing is recruiting, and recruiting. That's kind of what it boils down to in summertime. And then just check boxing everything. What do we need to get ready for the guys coming in, their housing, and all the new guys, and making sure we're getting ready to have our fall go the way we want, and just getting all the other stuff that needs to get done from their physicals and all the other paperwork. So it's kind of our checklist of things to get going, all the uniforms and all that stuff, to glove orders. And so there's a lot of little admin stuff that needs to get done from now until they get to campus. But really, it's like you said, then there's camps going on starting at the back end of June, all of July, that to have all the, we have a lot of kids already signed up. We're excited for that, to get them back out here. As you know, that's also been a great kind of pipeline, so to speak, for future Titans. So to get them out here, and I think we had a lot of kids throughout our games this year, which was awesome to see, and get them back and get that excitement back for them to enjoy it and learn from our coaches and the other coaches from surrounding high schools and JCs. To teach them what we believe is going to help them grow. So that's kind of what the summers entail. Like I told you, I think I said previously, it's like we're 2 months away from school starting. School starts August 22nd, so it's going to be here before you know it. And then that's where we just got to make sure we're doing all the little things for now. So it's recruiting, but it's getting kids for unofficials out here to check out the campus. And like we'll have a high school camp middle of August, so all the guys we see in summer, we're trying to get here to hopefully make some final decisions for them to compete in front of us. So that's kind of what the summer entails. It's just, it's going to be nonstop, and then school will start, then fall ball, and then before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving, and then you get a little bit of a break, and then season. So it's a crazy cycle, but it's one that we've kind of gotten used to because it's in our profession. So, but we're excited to continuously grow and work hard on the recruiting trail. I like to, when there's a little bit of time, check out the College World Series, because that's just motivation too, to watch those games, but also get motivated to, we'd love to get back to there again and compete for a national championship.
Well, I know I said last one, but you mentioned the College World Series. The regionals and super regionals just completed just a day or two ago. Your old team, ECU, was hosting regionals and advanced all the way into the supers. Unfortunately, just came up a little bit short. Yeah. How closely were you watching Coach Godwin and the rest of the boys that you were coaching just this time last year?
I was watching them very close. I went to a lot of those games. So I was visiting my family, and I had a chance to go check out those games. So supporting them is very important, because they're good people, and it's a great program, and they do it right. And they're very close, but they do a lot of good things there too. And so everyone knows it's not easy. There's only 8 teams left. And to get to Omaha is a tough task. But those guys work hard to do things right. I'm excited for them. It's going to happen, and I think it's going to be sooner than later for those guys. The players are unbelievable. There's a lot of good people in that town. It's a great baseball community. So you're always rooting for those people, because, like I said, when people do things right, it's always fun, and you're always rooting for those people to do things and move forward. And they will, just like the support he gives us and gives myself. And so there's a lot of people I saw that were out there that are rooting for the Titans just because of having me being out there for a couple of years. Was a good thing too. So,
well, how cool would it be to possibly down the road, maybe put a bug in your ear, a trip to a home and away with the ECU folks? That would be pretty cool too.
Let's see what we can do. I think at least have a couple connections there. I can see if I can pull that off. See if I can make that happen, and see if they're wanting us to come out there. So it's happened in the past. I know Fullerton's gone out there in the past to play them. So hopefully we can make that happen.
Thanks for listening to the 1544 Miles to Omaha podcast. Feel free to visit our website, calstateomaha.com. While there, you can order an official Cal State Omaha t-shirt from the merch store. Want to help others find this podcast? Please add a 5-star review wherever you are listening. It really does help. The 1544 Miles to Omaha podcast is an On the Lam Enterprises production and is not affiliated with Cal State Fullerton or Titan Baseball.